T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome, everybody. Step right up and join us at the circus. There's a lot to do and see you've never seen before.
If you showed up, it'd be a circus-like atmosphere. So it's going to be kind of a circus.
Now we're just going to make sure when we feel like he's ready, we'll give him some more rap.
Step right up and join us at the circus.
Sports Radio 610 presents former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. It's Clint Sterner and the show.
Oh, Tyler's never been on the money more than he has been today. I was there. Clint was there. I still can't believe my eyes. Clint, Tyler Milner with that special open. The circus officially started. And Clint, we talked about it yesterday. We talked about it Monday. And he actually stepped out there and was on the field participating. Yes, when I say him, number 4, Deshaun Watson, Clint, was on the field. We watched it with our very own eyes participating in training camp. Insane. Insane. Take the people there who couldn't see it. Take the people there with your eyes, what you saw today as Deshaun Watson jumped in and was right there as any other player.
Look, I saw something that was very avoidable. I saw something that there's no positive that you can pull from him being there, from what I saw today, whether we're talking about the team or the player. There's nothing positive to pull from it. I think long-term, in the future with him being there, I mean, it was very interesting. It was fascinating. It was, I didn't think I'd ever see it. I didn't think there was any way that he would be in camp, much less any way that this team would choose to trot him out there and to do what we saw him do. I mean, this clearly was not the Deshaun that we've seen in the past lead this football team. This was a Deshaun Watson that came out in a hoodie, sweatshirt, no jersey on. Everybody else is in pads and shorts and helmet, and he's got hoodie, helmet, no jersey, no red jersey, for probably the first, 10 minutes, 15 minutes out there, no jersey. Everybody else has got jersey on. He's taking snaps in the quarterback center exchange, just like all the other quarterbacks. The body language was completely different with Deshaun Watson.
He did eventually put on the jersey. It seemed like someone said something, and then he put on.
Yeah, 15 minutes into practice, he put the jersey on. The body language was totally different.
What was the body language? How would you describe?
Nonchalant, flippant, what the hell am I doing here? Kind of body language, which, look, again, I'm not blaming him for it. I'm just telling you what my observations were. Clearly disengaged, even during the reps when he was side-by-side with Tyrod Taylor throwing the ball in individual. Took a knee for a good chunk of the teamwork that actually took place today. Hell, he ran scout team running back and scout team safety at one point. So don't get that twisted. Usually when you say a quarterback ran the scout team, usually that quarterback, hell, even if it's me, if it were Davis Mills, Anybody, if you run the scout team, you're at least playing your position running the scout team. Deshaun Watson, at one point, it looked like they were reviewing a blitz drill for Tyrod Taylor. At one point, he's playing as the running back, leaking out into the flats, and Tyrod Taylor's dumping the ball off to him for a good chunk of practice late. He actually put on a number 23 jersey.
Yeah, so they put on Eric Murray's jersey to play safety.
Yeah, and played safety, stood out there and stretched. And so, yeah, just a very interesting dynamic of Deshaun Watson being out there. And I think for me, the biggest thing is it was 100% avoidable. It did nothing but pour gas on the fire of the circus that is NRG right now. It did nothing in a positive manner for the team, the current players today, or the team or current players in the future. It was an interesting decision to do what we all watched today. I don't know that it did a ton of damage. I think it was a distraction. I don't know that it did a ton of damage. But I just, you wonder what the end game is, what the priorities are, what the mindset is of the decision makers when that's what they decide to do.
It doesn't look like the kickoff to a rebuild. Like that situation, having someone there of his magnitude that's not rowing in the same space. Like you said, like if you've watched Deshaun Watson, any of you, any fans out here listening, and who knows? Maybe if you have season tickets and you got a chance, maybe on the August 1st, you'll get to go out there and see Deshaun yourself.
Yeah.
When fans are like, well, you go out there and see him, it's unlike a Deshaun Watson you've ever seen play football.
Yeah, yes, which is understandable. I think it's in a very embarrassing time for him to be in the public eye with all the legal issues. I think it's an embarrassing time for him to be in the public eye being asked to do what he's doing. This guy's a franchise quarterback. This is a Pro Bowl quarterback. This is one of the best in the game.
And he's putting on Eric Murray's jersey.
Yeah, and he's walking around disengaged in a hoodie.
Not talking to anybody at many occasions.
Yeah, I mean, clearly not wanting to be there. I'm less, to me, I thought less about Deshaun Watson and what I was actually watching, and I thought more about the decision makers that made that decision, what their thought process was, what the reasoning could possibly be, and then obviously how the reps that he took. I think a lot of people will look at it, and because, I mean, he was taking what would be the number one or the number two quarterback reps. He was side by side in two quarterback drills, in drills that consisted of two quarterbacks. It was him and Tyrod Taylor first, and they would take several reps, and then he would slide over, and one of the guys, Davis Mills, would slide in individual drill, which was 10 or 15 minutes, and then in quarterback center exchange, which was 10 or 15 minutes, and then probably 5 minutes, and then individual routes on air with the receivers. He and Tyrod Taylor were on one end with the receivers, while Davis Mills and Jeff Driscoll on the other end with the running backs and the tight ends, which that's very interesting to me. If in my Cowboy days, when I was playing with the Cowboys, if that would have happened, Randall Cunningham and Troy Aikman would have been thrown to the receivers, and Clint and whoever the fourth string was would have been down there throwing to the tight ends and the running backs at that point in time. So, it's just interesting to me that when you take, let's say, that 20 or 25 minutes of practice where that was individual QB center exchange or routes on air, Deshaun Watson was coached as much as anybody in that group by Pep Hamilton and even times Tim Kelly. He was treated as the number one or the number two quarterback in terms of being side by side with Tyrod Taylor. Those are reps that Davis Mills should be getting. That's coaching that Davis Mills should be getting. And while it's 20 or 25 minutes of practice number one, you stack several days of 25 minutes of practice number one on top of each other. That's how you develop a quarterback. And so, I don't know, Show. I looked at it, and it was less about, you know, because you knew Deshaun wasn't going to go out there and just run drill to drill and lead it and be vocal and do all that stuff. You knew that wasn't going to happen. To me, it was more about what the hell are we doing?
Yes, and I think it all stems, Clint, from what a narrative that Nick Caserio, the general manager, continued to push today, and that was, we're going to do things in the best interests of the Texans. And he said that multiple times in regards to Deshaun Watson. And everything that you just described, and going all the way from the body language, the demeanor, how Deshaun interacted with others, to the reps as you just broke down and all that, how is that in the best focus of the Texans?
I don't know.
What we watched today is just like, how?
I did figure out one way. It gives them an even number of quarterbacks, so that when you do warm up in practice, a coach or a quality control coach doesn't have to play catch with the quarterback.
But Nick wants
to. Hamilton doesn't have to. No, Nick's a receiver guy. He's not a quarterback guy.
He said his arm. He talked about his arm.
Well, he likes to throw, but he spends most of his time with receivers. If Deshaun Watson is out there, at least you've got four quarterbacks so that you can warm up with a real quarterback. That's the positive that I found in Deshaun Watson.
That's the positive.
Being out there. And by the way, guys, by the way, real quick, I saw multiple players and multiple coaches go out of their way to go shake Deshaun Watson's hand and either hey, how you doing? I'm so-and-so, nice to meet you. Or a greet, hey, man, how you been? I ain't seen you in a minute. Including Lovie Smith. Lovie Smith, out of his way. Whoa, stop, put a foot in the ground, break to the right, go about 10 yards to go out of his way during practice to talk to Deshaun Watson. Everybody out there that wants to paint this picture like there's locker rooms in this league that won't accept Deshaun Watson because of what he's gone through or there might be some major concern, man, y'all can miss me with that. I mean, I sat there and watched dudes just ham it up, boom, boom, no big deal, move on, as if the dude wasn't asking out, as if the dude didn't have legal issues, as if the dude didn't have just zero interest in being on that field with you. That's the kind of draw this dude has. So from now on, I don't know, man. I don't know if a team would want him. If we're talking about a locker room and a coaching staff, they want that talent in that locker room, boss. Yeah,
from the text line, it seems like maybe they're acting like fans. They don't need to do him any favors. Embrace the circus. Let's go, Texans. What do you mean, let's go, Texans?
What do you mean,
like,
embrace the circus?
How is this moving you forward?
Oh, it's not. That's
like, That's what I was looking right now. We've been talking about it. Year zero of a rebuild. How in the world is this moving forward? Like, when I say Deshaun Watson you've not seen, man, they did a team breakdown. Deshaun was, like, taking steps, walking away from the team breakdown before they even finished the breakdown. Like, it's just like, what in the world are we doing here? Clint Sterner in the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Also from the text line, Clint. Can we get a report on what you saw from Davis Mills? I know there were some other players out there besides Deshaun.
I think Davis Mills he can absolutely spin a rock. I think he's a guy that appears to be much more confident, much more comfortable than he was in the minicamp reps that we saw.
So there was a change.
OTAs, you're right, they canceled the minicamp. Skipped. Look, I feel comfortable in saying whether we're talking about Davis Mills having a higher ceiling or Tyrod Taylor having a lower ceiling. I think in a perfect world, if the Texans had their focus on making this team the best team they could in 2021, I think Davis Mills right now, I'm comfortable saying Davis Mills should be splitting reps 50-50 in a true competition with Tyrod Taylor.
You're there?
I'm there.
I'm
100% there.
Even
if you got to go into week one with a playbook 10 pages deep, if that were the best case scenario, I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying he's going to be the starter day one. I'm saying if that were the case, then that's what you should do.
What was the number one thing that convinced you to that? Because I don't think you were there before today, were you?
I think you see more comfortable. He's throwing the football better. I think he tangibly is significantly more talented than Tyrod Taylor is. I think that's obvious when you watch practice. I think that at the very least it should be an all out competition. And like I said, if Tyrod Taylor wins it, hey, open that playbook up. You move the pocket. You do all these Tyrod Taylor type things. And if Davis Mills, if he's ready to go, when he's ready to go, then you pare the playbook down. And you give yourself a chance to stretch the field. You give yourself a chance to make all the throws that you should be able to make at an NFL level, or at least the starter should be able to make. I just think that there's enough there watching him throw the ball and watching Tyrod Taylor. Because it's not all about – I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Davis Mills is throwing the ball and he's impressive like Pat Mahomes. That ain't it. I'm telling you there's a high enough ceiling there when you see that. And then there's enough limitations when you watch Tyrod Taylor that it should be an all-out competition from Jump Street.
Mm. All right. We've got a whole lot going on. We've got the first day of training camp covered unlike anybody else. Camp Caserio has been wild to kick off. And, listen, we were wondering how David Culley would handle things at his first press conference of training camp. And wait till you hear how head coach David Culley tried to spin, so to speak, Deshaun Watson and how he participated in practice today. We'll let you hear that coming up next.
Football playing Jesse.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Camp Caserio, woo! It is on and going. And remember, listen right here, Sports Radio 610. Is the best spot for you. If you missed it, he was on at 8:45. You can use that Odyssey Rewind. And then he sat down with Mark Vandermeer and John Harris directly after meeting with the media for a one-on-one with them. He'll be heard regularly right here on Sports Radio 610 throughout training camp. And Landry and Lopez, that's the same. Or no, those are two different people. Landry and Lopez, they'll always have a player coming off the field. They had David Johnson today, so if you missed that, you can go back and check that out. So this is the best spot to make sure you're getting what you need to get. But, Clint, one of the things we were waiting on, God, we'll see how David Culley's going to handle these questions today.
Oh, my goodness.
And, yes, the first, I believe, 12 were Deshaun-related. And this was an interesting spin. This is where he went in terms of why and how he participated in practice and the things that he did.
Well, he was not here doing any of our off-season program at all. And when he came in, we basically decided that we wanted to, when he's ready to do what we feel like he needs to do from a standpoint of this is the ramp-up period. And, you know, we don't want to get to the situation where we're having him do something that he's not ready to do right now. And we decided that the individual period was the periods that we could get him in where nothing happens and moving forward. And we'll make a decision on that.
All right. That's David Culley. And, Clint, we did see a lot of the 11-on-11 stuff. We didn't see Deshaun participating. He was generally standing by himself somewhere. But he did participate, as he said, in individual stuff. And when the quarterbacks were throwing to receivers and tight ends. But he said it's because he missed a lot of the offseason stuff. That's what led to it, Clint. You were out there. You watched all four of the quarterbacks. Was that accurate in your eyes, what you watched?
No, I think David Culley's I think his response to what's – and I don't know if I said this on air or if we were off air yesterday talking about it. You know, I think from the coaches and the players, it's going to be – it's going to be, well, man, it's the business, it's football, it's a ramp up period. It's, you know, we got to make sure that everybody's ready to go. You know, there's always some kind of BS ducking and dodging the actual question, which everybody knows in the room, what you're talking about. And no, I don't think that what I watched today was a all pro franchise quarterback that was taking a back seat because he missed the offseason.
He didn't know the
system. I mean, he had a number 23 jersey on and was scout team safety at one point.
Yeah,
he was catching a ball out of the backfield from Tyrod Taylor as a scout team running back at one point. I mean, it's one of those, like, come on, man. We all sat there and watched that. So that should have made that answer unacceptable to what Deshaun Watson is. When you're asked what Deshaun Watson is doing, like, that's unacceptable. That's not what Deshaun Watson
is it even believable to think, okay, I guess I know Tim Kelly is still the offensive coordinator, but you would think there's maybe some changes to the offense with Pep Hamilton and I guess David Culley involved in it. Would that even be a thought that he wouldn't be ready
No, if you wanted to get – look, Deshaun Watson reported Sunday. I mean, you've had 3 days and three nights, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. You've had 3 days and three nights to get Deshaun Watson caught up and up to speed to where he could partake in the team drills, if that were indeed what you were doing.
Because Anthony Miller was participating in all of the team drills.
Anthony Miller.
And he just got traded.
I believe so. Yeah, and he just got here. So, I mean, yeah, no, there's no – this is exactly why you can't –
I just thought about that.
This is exactly why – It's a bad idea to put Deshaun Watson out there, because the ripple effect is now David Culley has to answer questions, and when David Culley has to answer questions, things like this happen. That wasn't – to nobody watching practice was that a former All Pro or I'm sorry former Pro Bowl quarterback getting ready, ramping up to getting more reps with the Houston Texans. It just wasn't. I mean, I don't know any other way.
Because by his words, Clint, we should believe that once he gets more of an understanding of the new system, because that's what he said, he hasn't been in our system. Once he gets an understanding of the system, then we should see him build more.
Because
there's one thing that didn't change, Clint. Deshaun Watson was clearly the best quarterback out there.
Oh, there ain't
like
no
a, like not,
that.
Not like maybe he didn't know the system, but clearly between him, Tyrod Taylor, Jeff Driskel, and Davis Mills, he was clearly the best. So if he's clearly the best, and once he starts to learn it, you would think that he would, as Macho Man Randy Savage would say, the cream would rise to the top, and that he would. Is that what we're led to believe?
No. Some people may be led to believe by them comments that David, but no, that's not what's going on. I don't know anything. I don't have any insight. I'm just telling you what I watched at practice, and that's just not the case. It's not a – you don't take an All Pro quarterback and a quarterback that led the league in passing last year, a quarterback that's put age into the equation. He's the number two quarterback in the league right now, and have him running scout team receiver with an Eric Murray jersey on and running back routes out of the backfield, and then try to tell us that he's ramping up and he just hadn't been here and it's silly. Come on, man.
No, that's what I said. Anthony Miller was out there running every route. He was lined up with the – he was running everything with the ones and twos. He was up there. He just got there. I mean, that trade happened, what, the same day? The same day that Deshaun reported?
Was it like Sunday or Monday? I don't remember. I don't recall. But yeah, same neck of the woods. But yeah, you get, they had plenty of time to get Deshaun Watson mentally up to speed in terms of missing – the OTAs that he missed.
That's the part I wanted to get with you.
Quarterbacks miss. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, you think Aaron Rodgers went out there today and ran scout team running back or ran scout team safety? No.
In fairness, it's the same system that he's run. But that's what I'm wondering. If in a change of system, would that is that a fair thing? I'm just trying to understand.
If what David Culley said today in a sense of tried to sell that Deshaun Watson, the reason he was limited in reps today and just did individual was because they decided that was what was best for him and they'll give him reps as they watch the film and things of that nature. And it's a ramp-up period, and he missed all of OTAs. That's not what would be a dead horse. I just what we saw today was not what David Culley said was going on.
No, it goes in line with what is becoming one of the frustrating things as we've seen as David Culley, as we listen to him speak, and as Nick Caserio is, they're just trying to treat and pretend like Deshaun Watson is just like any other player. Like he's just like anybody else in any kind of situation of, Deshaun, he's reporting just like any other player. He's just got to learn the system like any other.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Like we understand you understand that this is a completely different situation. Right.
But so there's just certain things that there's just not, I don't know. Like again, David Culley saying that in response to Deshaun Watson questions, I don't know what your end game is. It's just one of those where it's blatantly obvious that Deshaun Watson being out there is not just another player. It's not just everyday business.
Yes.
It's not.
He's just reporting just like everybody
else. It's not. Did. And what we watched is not just, hey, just like old times, man, he's been professional as ever and all this kind of jive. And it's just not. It's not the truth. There's nothing wrong with saying, yes, Deshaun Watson's going to be out there. Yes, he's disgruntled. I think everybody knows that right now. And it's going to be something we're going to have to all work through
or at least say, hey, I understand the injury. I understand what people, everyone has issues with. And, yes, he's not starting because we're just ramping up. Because now you leave yourself open. Okay. So how long do you think a Deshaun needs to learn this offense? Because as soon as he learns it, it is clear from us and anybody that he is the best of the bunch. So then the next step is he'll be taking over the reps for the ones. And that's not going to happen.
Right.
Tyrod Taylor is going to be like.
The thing is, like, you look silly saying it.
Yes.
Like
because at some point you're going to have to deal with it, you would think, unless he's going to get traded very soon. Or you're going to take him off the field. And, yes, like you said, you just look absolutely silly, like you're never going to have to own up with that again. God almighty. Yeah, he's the number two guy, number three, number four guy. It's just absolutely insane. Just so frustrating. All right, Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Again tomorrow, we'll be out there live. We'll be out there checking things out, seeing how day two starts again, and see maybe Deshaun will be doing 11-on-11. Maybe he'll do team drills tomorrow. Once we see him there. I'm just saying, I don't know, the ramp up. Maybe it took one day to ramp up to the next step. So maybe he's out there. All right, coming up, there were others out there besides Deshaun Watson, and there are some good positive things that we were able to see, some players who look much better than they did last year, and we'll let you know because a couple guys – really, really would make Texans fans excited when they get a chance to see him. We'll discuss that coming up.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Rockets have the number two pick in the draft coming up tomorrow night. We'll have Ryan McDonough, our Sports Radio 610 Odyssey NBA insider, to give us the latest on what Rockets fans need to expect for that. That's coming up here in about 12 minutes or so. But, all right, Clint, there were other things out there, right? We were able to see offense, defense, first day a practice, and what at least maybe from veterans, what's jumped out to you today, getting a first glimpse of these guys in training camp?
I think one thing show that we have not seen over the last few years, at least one for COVID, or if it was because, you know, like a DeAndre Hopkins wasn't a big practice guy and didn't need to be, quite frankly. But the one thing that we hadn't seen, and I think hurt this team last year, was the wide receivers just didn't participate. I mean, Randall Cobb, hell, the one that got hurt and the one there appeared to be in the middle of trading. He's the only one last year of the big names that was consistently at practice grinding during training camp. And I'm going to tell you, that's not the case this year. I mean, Brandon Cooks is out there. He looks like he means business. He's grinding. He's working. He's first in every drill. Chris Conley looks the part. He's going hard. He's going looks like he's working opposite Brandon Cooks. Anthony Miller, who you mentioned just got here, he was out there getting involved from the slot. Kiki QT looks like he's in great shape.
Yeah, he did.
Again, really working that slot position. But they're all out there as a whole grinding, and I think that's a big change from what we've seen in the past when, Will Fuller missed a lot of time. And last year where Brandon Cooks and Will Fuller missed a lot of time. It just seems like since I've really been here covering the Texans, there's always been receivers that are missing time during training camp, which I think is just so critical to quarterback play and eventually, essentially being able to move the football, convert first down, score points, is that timing, that chemistry. And it's good to see those guys out there getting after it. I've said multiple times, I think there's a serious void on this football team when you start talking about the top three receivers. Brandon Cook is one. If you want to make him one, that's fine. Then two and three, I think, is up for grabs, and somebody needs to step up. If Brandon Cooks is a two, then a number one needs to emerge, and a number three needs to solidify himself. I mean, there's opportunity big time with this football team at the receiver position, and them cats are out there competing their ass off and working hard, which has not been the case for one reason or another. Again, I'm not knocking the guys that were here in the past. I'm just saying that's not always been the case, is the quarterbacks having plenty of reps with those guys.
Did you feel better about those voids after watching this young group? Now, obviously, you don't know. Like,
no, I look
Hopkins or anything, but did you feel better about the receiving core with those voids?
Oh, yeah. That? No, I think there's a void. I say it's just there's not a proven guy, and there's damn sure not guys that within this organization walk in and you just plug them in outside of Brandon Cooks. I mean, Chris Conley, I said this from the jump, Chris Conley is bigger than I thought, and he looks really, really good. Nico Collins is bigger than – not bigger than I thought because it's the first time I saw him, but he's a big receiver, and he does – the things that are necessary for a receiver to have a career in this league, he does really well. Is he going to be great? I have no idea. Is he going to be a staple starter in an offense? I have no idea. But when you talk about getting to the league, sticking in the league, producing in this league, and making a lot of money over several years in this league, Nico Collins does the things well that you just can't coach. And so, there's Kiki QT, Anthony Miller. I mean, there's a bunch of dudes that could emerge in that 1-3. When I say there's a void, there's just not a guy that I go, yep, Chris Conley, plug him in. Yep, Kiki QT, plug him in. There's going to be some hellacious competition for the top three spots on this team. Wherever Brandon Cooks is, plug his ass in. The other two top three receivers on this team are going to need to compete like we've never seen. And again, my point is, it appears that they are competing right now.
No.
Healthy, competing, they're all out there getting after it.
No, that's good. And they did look like you said, Kiki QT, he looked really quick today. Guys looked really, really fast today. So I would say that the receiving core, yes, you could be happy. I'm not sure who's throwing it to him, but you could feel really, really, really good about better about that group. Right.
Good about them being out there.
Yes.
And you feel good about the group. Are there greats out there? Is anybody going to stay? I don't know. There's a bunch of talented dudes out there competing their ass off. They're not in the training room.
Watching that group today did make me feel like I'm glad they were able to make a move, which it looks like with Randall Cobb. At some point, will that be final?
Yeah.
I mean, Randall Cobb is now posted.
I mean, Brandon Cooks talked about it in his press conference today. He I think it's done, but I just the just, details.
We'd like to.
Brandon Cooks talked about it, but GM Nick Caserio said he'll wait to talk about the details.
Nick Caserio basically has went as far as Nick Caserio would be willing to go about saying, yeah, he's probably not going to be on the practice field today.
That's right.
I'm sure you've heard some reports. He's not going to be there. But it was good to see those guys in place because I wouldn't want Miller or Kiki QT getting less reps and seeing more what you can do with those guys if they had to play behind Randall Cobb. So for where the Texans are, that move is in another way looks better. There's some dudes, though, for this team. We talk about get off the bus guys that look the part.
That's right.
Charles Omenihu, I don't know if maybe he looks different. He was in all white, which made him look even bigger. But that young man looks like the prototypical defensive end in a 4-3 you would try to build.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Charles Omenihu.
I'm just talking about his look.
I'm talking about his play too. I mean, I think he's a guy this year, boy, that could really emerge. I agree with you. He's a legit hand in the dirt 4-3 defensive end. So the move from 3-4 to 4-3 could be big for him in particular. Could be big for a lot of guys, but it could be huge for him. And I'm going to tell you, Show, all this talking about moving him inside and passing downs, to hell with that. He's a defensive end. Leave him with his hand in the dirt and let him collapse the pocket. If he wants to use power moves on a tackle, if he wants to use speed, he can do that as well. There are benefits to him staying on the outside instead of burying him inside. You got Ross Blacklock. You got other guys that can rush from the inside. Hell, it's what you drafted him for. I think Charles Omenihu is a defensive end. Put his hand in the dirt and let him rush the passer and play the run from the defensive end position, and let's see what kind of noise he can make. I think he's got a chance to have a hell of a year and got a bright future in this league. Bigger than just, obviously, he cemented himself as a player, but I think he's a guy that, boy, it could be fun to watch him blossom into something like a legit down-in, down-out starter at the defensive end position, Show.
Yeah, he looks ready, and I know John McClain, will be on with us Friday, has said he's the one player that he's looking at that could really adjust in this 4-3 system. It could be something big for the Texans. I was looking at Ross Blacklock as well, and like some of the young guys, Ross Blacklock and Jonathan Grenard, they looked pretty good out there, at least better, especially Jonathan Grenard. They looked a lot better and more comfortable. Yeah. In being an NFL player in the system.
I really like Jonathan Grenard. I mean, he's just a guy that stands out. Like you said, I mean, when he walks out of the locker room, he reminds me of Alonzo Spellman, just one of those you look at and you go, good God, that's a specimen. And then when he gets out there, he plays physical, he plays fast, he's big enough to anchor versus the run. He's obviously big and quick enough to rush the passer. I like him being in that front.
Sports Radio 610. Breaking news. Powered by Odyssey and presented by BetQL. Become a better sports bettor. Get smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
All right, we got some breaking news. Our trusty producer, Tyler Milner, what is the latest? What do you got?
Yes, sir. The Astros, they are bringing in more help for that bullpen. The Astros have an agreement in place to send minor league outfielder Brian De La Cruz to the Miami Marlins in exchange for reliever Yimi Garcia, a source confirms. And that's coming from John Heyman, who's actually going to join us later today at about 3:35.
That's big. That's the third arm, right, since yesterday they've added to that bullpen. Really, the second one you really get yourself excited about with Kendall Graveman and now what's this gentleman's name?
Yimi Garcia.
Yimi Garcia.
I'm going to need you to spell it. I was going to try to look it up.
Y-I-M-I is the first name.
Yimi Garcia.
I think I'm pronouncing it right.
He is their closer. He was the Marlins closer.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What are his numbers? Do you have his numbers?
Yeah, the Dominican Republic pitcher is pitching with a 3.47 ERA this year.
That's not great.
That's in 36 and a third innings. It's not great, but it's not horrible either, I guess.
It's not great for a closer. But
maybe he'll be the setup guy. Maybe Presley stays in that closer role.
He's not taking over the closer role from from Ryan Presley, who is like a .30 ERA in the last 30 games or something.
Killing it.
So, but you add more help. This was a guy who was a closer for the Marlins. You would hope that he improves. We'll see what happens there. But I will say it does appear that the Astros, Clint, are not going the route of let's go get the big gun and Craig Kimbrell, which we were hoping for.
Not yet.
I mean, you think they're going to add him too?
You think this move for Yimmy is going to keep him from going and getting Craig Kimbrell?
Well, when you put that with Kendall Graveman and the move they made with Seattle, getting those two guys from Seattle and him, like it seems like they're doing little things. Hell, I would have said go get him. Go get Kimbrell. But to me, it does not seem like they're going to try to go for the big fish.
Yeah, we'll see.
It feels like they're going to go for let's add pieces to help them. So when you look at it, this is a closer in the league that you add with Garcia and Graveman and now Pedro Baez coming back. You're feeling like, okay, let's fill some things in front of Presley. So I would imagine they feel better about that, feel better about what their bullpen's better today than it was yesterday. And that is a positive thing for the Astros. So Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. The Astros have crazy news going on with them in terms of the deadline, which ends on the 30th. The Texans, obviously, Camp Caserio has started, and the Houston Rockets have a big week as well tomorrow. On the line with us is our Sports Radio 610 Odyssey NBA Insider, our guy Ryan McDonough. Insider calls are brought to you by Shell V Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. And so there have been a lot of things we've been hearing, potentially the Rockets trying to find their way up to the number one spot to get Cade Cunningham, or sitting there at number two to maybe get the young kid Green. What are you hearing? Where are you thinking the Rockets are going to go with this number two pick?
Well, Sheo, Clint, it's always great to be on with you guys. My guess is that Houston stands pat at number two and takes Jalen Green, the talented shooting guard who played really well for the G League Ignite. I've said it before, guys. I'll say it again. I don't see a lot of separation between Cunningham and Green. I think Cunningham's going to be a terrific player, but I also think Green's going to be a really good player. He's the kind of guy who has the talent and potential to be among the league-leading scorers someday. So I really like Jalen Green. Again, I don't think the gap is that significant. We saw the reports that Green had a tremendous workout in Detroit, which had them maybe reconsider their number one pick a little bit. I think at the end of the day, it's Cunningham one to Detroit, and then it's Jalen Green two to the Rockets.
Ryan, what about they got three first-round draft picks? And I mean, what kind of, in terms of a rebuild, because this team obviously is a complete teardown and in the very early stages of a rebuild, what kind of impact can three first-round picks obviously headlined by that number two overall, what kind of impact can that have on this rebuild and how quick they can get it done?
Well, it's going to take some time. I mean, keep in mind, you're bringing in, assuming they draft three guys, you're bringing in three players who are between 19 and 22 years old, most likely. So those guys take some time, especially the teenagers. If you bring in 19, 20-year-old guys to your organization, that takes years for them to reach their full potential. But I think it's the right thing to do. I mean, to some extent, we started doing it in Boston when I was in the Celtics front office and then flipped some pieces for Ray Allen and some for Kevin Garnett. The Phoenix, you know, kind of continued it after I was gone and added to it, and they obviously played for the championship this year. So I do think it's the right approach. It does take some time. One thing I would look at, guys, with their latter two picks, again, I think they're going to stick at two is the most likely scenario, but with their later picks, 23 and 24, Houston and other teams, including the Oklahoma City Thunder and New York Knicks, the teams with multiple picks in that range in the second half of the first round between 15 and 30 are looking to consolidate, looking to combine picks and move up. The challenge for the Rockets will be a team like OKC has two picks ahead of them, 16 and 18, so obviously those assets are better, and there's more interest from teams, especially with multiple picks like the Rockets, in moving up than there are from the teams higher up in the draft, into the lottery, in dropping back.
On the line with us is our Sports Radio 610 Odyssey NBA insider, Ryan McDonough. He joins us. All right, so for those wondering, because there are people who believe that Cade Cunningham is going to be the best player in this draft, what would it take? As a former GM who's wheeled and dealed deals in the league, what would it take for the Rockets to go up one spot from 2-1 to get Cade Cunningham if that's what they wanted to do?
That's a great question, Joe. I think, you know, obviously it depends on Detroit's asking price. My guess is they'll set the bar very high. I mean, want future draft assets. As you know, the Rockets have a lot of those based on the deal they made for James Harden. You know, you could ask for the moon if you're Detroit, because it seems like they're comfortable sticking at one and picking Cade Cunningham, who I think has a very high floor. And what I mean by that is I think Cade Cunningham's worst-case scenario, he's a very good NBA player. His best-case scenario, he's a great player. So that being said, though, it really comes down to what Detroit thinks of Jalen Green and Evan Mobley, maybe even Jalen Suggs. Those three guys, I think, just about every team I've talked to has in the top four. If they think it's relatively close, maybe they ask for, you know, a bunch of future draft picks and things like that, which Houston has. I personally would not recommend that if I were in the Rockets front office, because I'm that high on Jalen Green. And, you know, if Houston blows you away with a godfather offer, if you're the Pistons, if so, maybe you're comfortable dropping down and taking Green or Mobley at two, and if not, you keep the number one pick and draft Cunningham.
Before we get you out of here, Ryan, Evan Mobley, he is the other guy that many people have talked about. Are you hearing that the Rockets may shift that way and go for the big instead of the guard like Green?
I'm hearing more Green, but I wouldn't be shocked if it's Mobley. It's very close between those two guys. It depends on, you know, what you think the franchise needs. I think they both have a chance to be all-stars. Mobley's versatile. He's long and quick at 7 foot. He covers a lot of ground with his strides. Yeah, he's got a real high release. His shot is almost unblockable, and he does everything you'd want a modern NBA big to do. So, again, I think the top three picks, Cunningham, Green, Mobley, in some order, likely in that order, all have a chance to be all-stars. So I slightly lean toward Green, but I couldn't argue if the Rockets strap Mobley. I think he's going to be a heck of a player as well.
All right. We appreciate you jumping on with us. A crazy day in the sports world in Houston, and we'll be seeing what the Rockets do tomorrow night as they try to jumpstart this rebuild. Thanks for joining us, Ryan.
Anytime, guys.
All right. That was our Sports Radio 610 Odyssey NBA Insider, Ryan McDonough. Insider calls are brought to you by Shell V Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. We know life is busy, so come to Shell to fill up, save up, and snack up to make the most of the stop you need to make. So the Rockets, I mean, like we said, man, this is a hell of a week for all of the teams here in Houston. You got Camp Casario with Deshaun and all that happening. We just talked about the trade deadline is coming up in the 30th, and James Click is making moves to rebuild that bullpen. If you just missed it, they just traded for the Miami Marlins closer, Yimi Garcia. He comes over to help and add to this bullpen after getting two arms from the Seattle Mariners. And then tomorrow night, the Rockets have one of the biggest picks that they've had in a long time tomorrow and decisions they need to make. Boy, what a time to be in Houston sports.
I tell you, it's right now it's hot, and it's obviously great to have the Astros making a run that they're making, and hell, I mean, who knows what these moves they're making, and when they get healthy, who knows, by the end of the year they may be the favorite to win the whole damn thing. So that's going to be fun. And look, this Houston Texans stuff with Deshaun Watson right now.
And who knows if Deshaun Watson could pick it up a little bit more.
Coach, this is – what?
If Deshaun could pick it up, according to David Cutler.
Yeah, he may get more reps tomorrow. Yeah, look, I mean, it's must-see TV. It's must-hear radio until something happens. I mean, it's a good time to be in the radio business in Houston. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, but make sure you stay locked and loaded right here. Nobody's covering Camp Casario quite like we here on Sports Radio 610. All right, if you missed it, Nick Casario, he gave an update on the Deshaun Watson situation and how they're handling that. And you don't want to miss that if you didn't hear his words personally. And we tell you more about a new addition as the Astros look to rebuild their bullpen. They're making moves all over the place. All that coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle. vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.